Gosh, wasn't worship good this morning? Man. Whew. This guy could just learn how to sing a little bit, man. Gosh, that was good stuff. Thank you so much for coming to COC today. Super glad that you're here and chosen to worship with us. We are entering into the third week of a series that we started called Twisted. And Ben, you out there, Ben? Where are you? Woo! Hi, Ben. How are you? Ben did a tremendous job in starting us off that first week in talking to us that week about that there's a real invisible world that impacts the visible world that we are in, whether or not you want to believe it or not. And what's really kind of cool is, thanks to the leadership of Matt Lincoln and our youth ministries, they've been doing a Win the Dinner Table conversation in youth ministries as well. So basically what that means is anytime that we do a significant series that we feel is very impacting and can be beneficial for our teenagers as well, they either will come in here for the series or they'll do a simultaneous study. So hence the reason for Win the Dinner Table. That means that you guys, moms and dads, can go home and have a dinner table conversation about the same things that we're talking about in big church that they talked about over there. Is that not cool? Yes, it is. Whether or not you want to agree with it and clap your hands or not, that's very cool. That's very cool. But here's the deal on the invisible and visible world thing. If you believe in God and you believe in heaven, you're halfway there, okay? Because you already understand and believe in an unseen world. You get that and you can grasp that. It's the other half that we tend to ignore, or sometimes we just don't even want to believe. And that's this, that there's a real evil. Or better yet, this is where it kind of gets mystic and spooky. There's a real devil. See, sometimes we don't want to believe that there's a real devil in the world, all right? And that's because it's totally different than believing in a God or the God. And that's scary for some of us to think. But you know what I mean. But here's the thing. To actually kind of prove the fact, I guarantee you that just about everybody in this room, even teenagers that are sitting in here today, knows this. All you need to actually believe and understand an unseen or an invisible world is a rearview mirror. All you have to do is just go back and look back into your life and you'll see that there was probably a weekend, a trip, a relationship, a night in which you were tempted to say after you did what you did, how in the world could I have done something like that? I can't even believe I did that. I don't know what I was thinking. It was almost as if you had a moment in which you were deceived. Deceived. Now, the scriptures help us clarify these deceptive moments. In particular, in that first week, Ben really introduced to us in John, where Jesus tells us what he thinks about the unseen world. And gives us his idea of it. And this is what Jesus really believed. Jesus really believed that there was a devil in this world, to the point in which he called the devil a murderer, and his basic goal was to deceive people. He was all about deception. He called him a liar. He called him the father of lies. He called him a murderer. And here's what Satan does, according to Jesus. He twists things just enough to kind of just get us off track without exposing the fact that he's a real personality behind all the evil in the world. And then that kind of like after you've been deceived or confused or tricked or twisted into doing something, then that leads you, okay? And once again, like I said last week in big church, it doesn't make you. He doesn't make you do anything. Nowhere in the scripture does the Bible say that the devil made you do it. So teenagers, if you ever want to use that, the devil made me do it, you're a liar and you're falling for the father of lies. Okay? You know what? I'm not going to pick on the teenagers. Adults out there, big people, if you ever want to say the devil made me do it, you're a liar and you're falling for the master twist of the liar and the father of lies. The devil doesn't make you do anything. All right? He can nudge you in the direction, but he does not make you. You choose to do something that is just kind of stupid and strange and crazy, and you fell for a twist, and you were deceived. And it makes you look back in your life, and you're wondering, why did I do that? How could I have done that? So that's kind of what we were talking about that first week. And Ben did a brilliant job in setting that up. And it's actually what I just kind of told you is you can go read for yourself in the book of John. That's what Jesus believed. And if you're a Jesus believer, then hey, you know what? That's straight from the horse's mouth right there. That is what he believed, that there is an invisible world that is impacting our visible world. Now, last week, we started talking about one of three big twists that we happen to fall for in our lives. And that first twist last week that we talked about was authority. Authority. And essentially, last week we said this, that we all tend to think this way and evaluate authority rule by rule. And if we don't agree with that rule, then basically we just disregard it altogether. So that twist says that when it comes to authority and rules, it's all about what the rule says. I'm going to evaluate what the rule says, and I use the illustration of the rule says, hey, it's 45 from here out to the city of Tortosa, right? But I don't think that should be 45, so I'm going to drive 50, right? And just because I can and I have the mic, here's another example for you, right? You're driving up on 347. You're in the left lane. You don't realize that it goes 55 to 65, but 65 for the longer period of time, and you stay going 55 in the left-hand lane. Even though the signs say, slow traffic, move right. You see, there's like one person that is a believer in Jesus today that's sitting out there. Yeah. Hey, listen. So you ignore it. I'm going to take it rule by rule. And if I don't agree with this rule, I'm going to stay in the left-hand lane, texting people, not paying attention to somebody, actually 45 cars behind me, need to get over. All right, so you understand what, so if we don't agree, we look at the what, and Jesus comes along and he says, listen, no. It's not about the what, it's about the who. The who is asking. And when we come to that, we're like, okay, well, if it's not Jesus that's making the speed limits, it's not Jesus that's making the government laws, it's not Jesus that's making the taxes and all that stuff. And then we just kind of dismissed all those rumors and we said, yeah, it really kind of is because he's behind all of that. And we said this, it's because God works through human authority, period. Did y'all hear me? That means that God works through whoever the president is, whoever the president has been, whoever the president was 40 years ago. God always works through human authority, period. And we said that whether or not you want to believe that or not is up to you, but you are falling for a twist known as authority if you don't want to choose to believe that. Because here's the deal, your attitude, everybody listen to this, your attitude toward the human authorities in your life, good human authorities, bad human authorities, but your attitude towards both is a reflection of your attitude towards your Father in heaven. That's the truth. I'm just kind of untwisting the twist, all right? So here's what we're going to do today. We're going to look at a second big twist, and I think this twist is going to really relate to a lot of people that are sitting here today. And that twist is known as pain and suffering. Pain and suffering. I can't tell you how many times as a pastor I've had conversations, you know, why would a good God allow this to happen? Why would a good God allow that to happen? You in your own life, I love God, I give to God, I give of my time, my talents, treasures, all this stuff is happening. Why is my child going psycho? Whatever, you know what I'm talking about. Why would God allow this? I'm sitting down here looking at a mama who just lost her son, had to bury her son. Gosh, why would God allow that to happen? And I'm sitting here thinking, man, there's so much unknown. And that's kind of where the twist happens, right? Here's the twist is how you and I view or respond to pain and suffering in our lives. Satan, who's real, he's a deceiver, he's a father of lies, he's a murderer, he's a master twister. He would love nothing more than for all of us to respond to pain and suffering in our lives with doubt and disbelief in God. That's what he wants us to do. And whether you want to admit it or not, that's what you do a lot. When something hard comes your way, you start to doubt and wonder if God is even there and even paying attention. Why would he let this happen to me? And that's the twist. Even though God allows, That's the key word, allows. Pain and suffering in our lives, here's what you need to understand today. I'm going to try to help you understand this, all right? But this, he gives us just enough ability to make some sort of sense out of it. Just enough. You're not going to get it all figured out. You're not going to completely understand why, but he gives you just some sense of it so you can respond wisely to it and responsibly to it. Now here's something that we need to get from the start, okay? All right, the irony of pain and suffering for all of us is this, is it tends to be the shortest route to God for all of us. Seriously, think about this. When the bottom drops out of something in your life, everybody, believers and unbelievers, there just appears this moment where everybody just kind of looks up and wonders. I remember September 11th, and everybody just kind of, what just happened? What just happened? Some of you are even more seasoned, and you can remember even other dates back in human history, and you can think, what? And we all do this, regardless of what it is. I just gave, a couple big ideas, but we look up. But there's a quote from C.S. Lewis that I think we can all relate to when it comes to pain and suffering. Maybe you've heard of it, but here's how it goes. God whispers to us in our pleasures. He speaks in our conscience, but he shouts in our pains. It's his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. There's just so much truth to that quote, but there's something. The truth is, there's something in all of us. When something bad happens, we just wonder why. Why? And that's because we just can't seem to make sense of the situation. Something in all of us that wonders if we could just kind of, just connect the dots a little bit, things might just make a little bit more sense for us. So we look up and we look down and we ask, why? Why God? Why me? Why him? Why her? She was so young. Why this? Why that? We just naturally want to ask why. Why would you allow this to happen? And it's because if we could just understand the why, it might help us. We think it might help us be able to endure the situation a little bit better. Because if there's no reason, there's no rhyme for it, there's no purpose for it, it's just by random happening, then what happens? To so many people, I've seen it in 21 plus years of ministry. There goes your faith. If you can't make sense of it, your faith is gone. You've just given everybody a visible picture of how big your faith is or how little it is. And how quick you leave at the first sign of trouble. And you can't figure out why. And we fall for the twist. This is the twist of trying to figure out things ourselves. And I'm just going to help you up front and let you know. As you search and search and search for trying to figure out why this is happening, why that is happening, can I just tell you, you can keep searching all you want. The answer isn't there. You're not going to find it where you're looking. And you're falling for the twist and it's leading you faster to losing your faith. Now, here's what I mean by this. Let me try to make some more sense of that for you. Everybody in this room today has experienced this at some level in their lives. And that's because any time that you would elect pain, all of us, matter of fact, all of us have had moments where we've had elective pain. And here's kind of what I mean by that so you understand, all right? All of us have had moments where we've chosen to do something that is very painful because of the greater good that might be behind it. For example, Matt Lincoln, stand up real quick. I can't actually can't take your shirt off, but can you roll up your arm just a little bit? Can we see some of it? You know what I'm talking about? Can you get it around those pythons, big guy? Are they gonna bite you? Okay. Matt Lincoln is a guy. I got four tattoos, okay? I got 2, 1, 2, 3, 4, right there, okay? And Matt Lincoln's a guy that was always like, I'm never gonna do that. And then he comes back with like his whole half body tattooed. Okay, so you can see, turn around, let everybody see a visual picture. That, guys,
right there, that's like 1/15th of the size of it. Okay, so Matt, did it feel good to sit there for 4 hours, 5 hours and get that whole thing? It was horrible. Needle sticking, right. But the greater good, because you got scripture through all of that, right? You're like, I have witnessed and even won people to the Lord, whether or not you agree or think tattoos are right or wrong. I did these for a reason, all right, all that stuff. So it gives you a talking point with people. But you endured pain for the greater good of what you wanted to do, right? Okay, have a seat. Better yet, stand back up. Let's take piercings, for example. No, you don't have a piercing. Sit down. I'm just joking. Piercings, right? Piercings. I have seen ladies with 45 piercings in their ears wrapped up. And I'm like, what in the world? That's got to hurt. Nikki, you're out there. You got a lot of piercings, right? Right? How many you got in each ear? Whoa! See, not 45, no. 40, yeah. But like, I want to do that. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know what I'm saying? So, this is not a tangent on tattoos or piercings or anything like that, right? So here's the deal. It's just like, you got to endure pain in order to get for the greater good. So a lot of us, this is my whole point, a lot of us have elective pain in our lives. We will choose a pain for the greater good of something that will be the result end of it, right? So my point is this. My point is all of us at some point in time will have that elective pain for the purpose of good. And my greater point is there's always something on the other end that makes sense to it. And that's why we do it. That's how we're wired. That's why we all do what we do in that way. So we shouldn't be surprised that when the legs get kicked out from under us financially, or our children just go nuts, or our health turn south, or our careers end suddenly, something crazy in your life happens, when that happens, we shouldn't be surprised, especially when we didn't necessarily elect that to happen. I didn't elect my job to be, you know, I didn't elect to be fired. So I get that. So even when that happens, there's nothing wrong, and it's our first inclination is, I've got to make sense of this. I need to know why this is happening. I need to understand the purpose. There's got to be a greater good behind it, because I have elective pain in my life. Where there is a greater good, that I elected for the pain, and I didn't elect for this pain, but there's got to be a reason for this. So it's very natural to have this happen. So we all tend to look to the only one who potentially can create a context for the pain. So many, 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 many people look to God to create the context. But here's the problem. When we don't hear anything or see anything from God, we begin to fall for the twist. We begin to look into our own worlds. And we start saying things like this. Why is this happening to me? What did I do to cause this? What can I do to turn this around? I need an explanation. I need purpose. I need context. That's the twist. That's the twist, because no matter how hard, how far, how deep, how long you look, you're not going to find the context there, friends. You're not. And the reality of even Jesus did this. And Jesus even knew what was the plan. He elected for the pain. Sign me up, God. Dad, I'll do it. But yet on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why would the Son of God actually? Because Jesus was fully human. And this is what humans do. Whether you elect the pain or you don't elect the pain, you want to know why. Just when you elect it, you already know the why. But when you don't elect it, you fall for the twist. So let me start here, okay? You're like, you're just starting? Yeah, it's one service today. Don't want that to happen. Today I'd like to help us all. Just try. Just make an attempt at helping you connect the dots, okay? I'd like to attempt to kind of give a little bit of context to all the pain and the suffering in our world that exists, and more importantly, in your world. And just help you a little bit, okay? Fortunately for us, 2,000 plus years ago, God connected three big dots for all of us that give us some sort of context for the pain and suffering that goes on in our world. Three big dots. Now, it's really important out of the gate that you understand this today. What I'm about to share with you this morning, it's probably, if you're experiencing pain and suffering in your world, whatever level or extent it is, it's probably not going to take it away. Okay, so I don't want that pressure on me. I'm just letting you know up front. It's probably not going to take it away. But here's what I do know. If you really open your heart and your ears and your mind to this, it will give you some sort of foundation. It will give you some sort of level playing field to help you and provide to you what you might need to actually make it through this. And not be so easily tempted to always fall for the twist, which is searching for the answer for yourself in your own world when the answer's not there. Now, couple things first. Two quick disclaimers, okay? Now, number one is this, as I just kind of alluded to, the answer that I'm going to share with you probably won't be too emotionally satisfying, okay? And what I mean by that is, chances are, some of you that may have lost your job recently, you're not going to walk out of here and think, gosh, that message was just so profound. I feel so much better that I've been unemployed for 6 months. Okay, you're not going to walk out of here and think, oh gosh, I feel so much better that my daughter, you know, is acting like she is. Whew, good grief. Thank you, Jesus, for giving me that insight today. It's not going to be too emotionally satisfying for you, okay? And that's because it's not going to diminish the pain, right? Even elective pain doesn't diminish the pain. So even understanding a little bit greater context to the why, it's not going to eliminate the pain. Second disclaimer is this, and I want to be real sensitive here, is this explanation I'm going to give to you today, it's primarily for Christians. And what I mean by the word Christian is this, because Christian is a really broad term. Christian means this, that you have placed a personal saving faith in Jesus Christ. You realize that if you were to die today and didn't have Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you know your eternal destiny is not in good shape. All right, you are what we would call a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. All right, that's what we're talking about there. Now, let me say this. When I say this explanation and you're out there because you're like, well, thanks for including me today, Josh. Glad I came to church. If you don't know Jesus, hey, listen, I'm super stoked that you're here today. You are special guests, and I guarantee you that I'm going to open up the Word of God, and it doesn't return void, so it doesn't matter what I say. God's Word is going to penetrate hearts. So I know that whatever's said will bring some sort of satisfaction to you in some way, shape, or form. But here's the deal. I want you to understand that as you're sitting out there and you're like, I don't buy that. I don't get that. That makes no sense whatsoever, Josh. Just remember this, friends of mine that might not be believers in Jesus. It's not going to make much sense to the Christians either. Okay? Because I just told you, this is not going to be an easy answer. All right, but here's what I do hope. I hope that it opens up your minds and your questions even more, that you'll keep coming back to get some more of your questions answered. That's all that I could ever ask for. If today is not your day of salvation, then maybe it will bring you back. That's what it is. So, all right? So with that said, hold on to this idea, okay? This is important. The very same God that you may be angry with today because of the pain and suffering that you may be experiencing, for what he's allowed to happen in your life, that is the very same God that's given you the three big dots that I'm about ready to share with you and tried to connect them to bring some context in your life, all right? Because he cares about you and he cares about your faith so much to even let you in on a little insight as to why you're hurting so bad. He loves you and he's passionate about you. But it's up to you to understand that, because he doesn't want you to keep falling for the twist and looking for the answers in your own world when the answer's not there. Book of Romans. If you brought your Bibles, you can turn there. Romans chapter 8 today. If not, the passages are going to be on the screens. A little context here. Romans is a difficult book. It's a tough book. And the Apostle Paul, in this particular passage, he meticulously kind of walks us through this whole idea of context of pain and suffering, all right, in our world. And he gives us the three big dots, and then he kind of connects them. Now, it's worth noting, all right, It's worth noting that I'll just shoot straight from you. For many of you that are sitting out there today, this passage is going to seem way out there. It's going to be very, very difficult for you to understand. So here's what I would challenge you to do. If that moment comes and you're like, I don't know if I'm understanding this, then just kind of mark it in your Bibles or write it down in your notes if you didn't bring your Bibles, and go back to it and dig a little bit deeper and read a little bit more into it. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to try to break this down for you even more simpler, as best as I can, all right? And I'm not always great at that. I even was like, how can I take some of these verses out to make this more sense and connect it? But I couldn't do that. So I'm going to take a lot of timeouts and pauses to kind of walk you through this so you understand it. All right? Are we cool? Okay, cool. And if you just don't get it and it is so far over your head, feel free to fall asleep, okay? It's all good today. All right, here's the three big dots. I'm going to give them to you because you're like, you've been talking to me. Tell me what they are. Here they are. Ready? In the beginning, in the meantime, and in the end. It's three big dots. Say those with me. Number one. Ready? One, two, three. Number two. Number three. Okay, some of you are falling asleep already. I told you you could, but it's too early, okay? Because we haven't even started. Say those three big dots again. Number one. Number two. Number three. Okay, let's jump in. Paul starts off by saying this, Romans 8:18. I consider, this is Paul writing, I consider that our present sufferings. Now remember, this is coming from a guy who is no stranger to suffering, okay? This is a guy that's been beaten, stoned, shipwrecked, lost his family, lost his money, lost his career, lost everything because he elected the pain of following Jesus. Just remember the context of who's writing this. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed. And it's kind of like right here with that statement that Paul pulls us out of our present context by drawing our attention to the future in the end to the greater context. Right here, out of the gate, okay? And again, I'm gonna stay by my notes so I don't lose you, okay? Now, when we read that first statement, many of us out there are wondering and probably thinking something like this. Okay, but Paul, I wanna talk about now. I wanna talk about why this is happening right now. And here's what Paul would say to you. Oh yeah, now it's bad. It's really bad. I've seen your world. It's bad. But listen to me. What's happening now is nothing compared to in the end. Okay, so you gotta get context from the beginning. All right, so let's keep reading. So Paul goes on and he begins to kind of wrench us out of our current context when it comes to suffering. He says this in Romans 8:19. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. Again, Paul is still looking to the future to in the end, all right? That's what he's doing, the greater context. And we're sitting here after we read this part and we're wondering, okay, Paul, what in the world are you talking about when you say sons of God to be revealed? And it was like Paul was thinking the same thing that you're thinking, saying, oh yeah, they probably don't know what I'm talking about. So then he begins to explain this. And he takes us from in the end, which he's pointing to, back to in the beginning. And he begins to walk us through the three big dots. So here's the first big dot. Ready? Romans 8:20, first part. For the creation was subjected to frustration. Now here's what that means. Everything that was created in the beginning, heavens and earth, people, everything, animals, everything created was what? They were subjected to frustration. And then he goes on and he says, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it. And right after we've asked the question, what do you mean by sons of God, frustration, all that stuff? And we're like, thanks, Paul, for explaining that. That helped me a lot. Not. So let me help you with that understanding. That's what Paul was essentially saying in this first part. Go ahead and keep the passages up until we move to the next one. Thanks, Misty, just so they can see it. Here's what he's saying. Here's what you need to understand. Paul's saying this out of the gate. Here's the bigger context. In the beginning, sin entered the world, and God judged the whole world because of it. Greater context. Okay, I'm trying to simplify this for you. That's what he says. And some of us are out there saying, well, I wasn't even there in the beginning. Why does that impact me? I've heard this many times. Why do I just get this? And here's what you need to understand about that kind of thinking, the bigger picture and the greater context. In the beginning, whether you choose to believe it or not, in the beginning, God judged the whole world. He judged creation. He judged the relationship, the future relationship between creation and him. He judged everything when sin entered into the world. And don't miss this. When sin entered into the world, death followed sin. Death followed sin. So when God judged the whole world in the beginning because of sin, sin has now reigned and had its way ever since, even with you. Even with you. And that's the first big dot. Making sense? Shake your head if it's not, and I'll just keep rolling, all right? You know what I'm saying? All right, let's keep walking. So, and we'll do some recaps along the way so you understand. Paul goes on and says this then in Romans 8:20. Last two words of that verse, ready? It was, in hope what? That creation itself will be, oh gosh, he just jumped from in the beginning back to in the end, will be liberated from its, keywords, bondage to decay. What? Dude, what are you talking about? What does this mean? Now let me unpack this whole key phrasing of bondage to decay for you so you understand, all right? Ready? Do you know why your back aches every single morning when you get up out of bed? It's because you're in bondage to decay. You're like, no, it's because of my bed. No, it's because you're in bondage to decay. No, it's because I'm from a history of guys or gals with bad packs. No, it's because you're in bondage to decay. Why do I have migraines? Because you're in bondage to decay. Why is there cancer? Because our bodies are in bondage to decay. Go on with whatever you want to go on with. Miscarriages, bondage to decay. This is life. It's because our bodies are in bondage to decay. Here's the newsflash that you need to understand and grasp with this idea today. Every time that you start to think something like this with something bad in your life, God, why did this happen? Here's what God's answer is going to be every time. It's because your body is in bondage to decay. Every time. And when you're tempted to say, well, if I hadn't or they wouldn't have, God's answer will always be, listen, time out. It's cute and all to try to connect all those little bitty dots. If you want to connect those little bitty dots and chase those rabbit trails all you want, go right ahead. But you're just wasting time because here's the first big dot. Sin entered into the world and death followed and your bondage, you're in bondage to decay. Every time. First big dot right there. Everything, guys, big idea. Again, I'm trying to make some context for you. Big idea, everything is in bondage to decay. So when we put it like that, here's what that conversation now looks like with you and God. God, why did this happen? Because you're in bondage to decay. What did I do to cause that? You were born. And he's like, so wait, it's not A plus B? Well, sometimes, but not necessarily. And you're like, oh gosh, Josh, I thought I was just getting this. Let's keep reading. Okay? Paul goes on to say in Romans 8:21, and brought into this glorious freedom of the children of God, and then he goes on. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as the pains of childbirth right up until this, and now we get to in the meantime. Right up until this present time. So what Paul's saying so far is this. Let me give you just a little bit of history in your life. Sin entered in the world, and everybody's been decaying, and everything's been upside down ever since. And it's not just that something in your world is broke. It's because the whole world's broke. Simpler said, listen, your marriage is not, it's not something that is in your marriage and it's broke. It's the whole world that's broken. It's not because your kids and something in your kids is broke. It's the whole world is broke. It's not something in your career that's broke. The whole world is broke. The whole world is broke. And what's happening in your marriage, with your child, with your career, it's just a manifestation of a much bigger thing that's going on when sin entered into the world and death reigned. And guess what? The whole world has been groaning under the burden of that ever since. See, here's real quick. If you can't get in the beginning, you're never going to be able to connect any dots in your life. Got to get in the beginning. So Paul starts out, right, talking about the end. Then we jump to in the beginning, and now we get to context, which is in the meantime. Let's keep reading. Romans 8:23. Not only so, but we ourselves, and right now Paul's kind of catching us up, who have the first fruits of the Spirit grown inwardly and wait eagerly, that's in the meantime, for our adoption, which is the redemption of our bodies in the end, in the future, greater context. So Paul's saying something like this right here. Again, I'm sticking to my notes so we can get through this. Okay, there is something that's happened to you when you became a Christian. When you place a faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit then comes and lives inside of you. And he makes you a different person because Christ has come alive in you. So what that means is this, is where once before you could do something that you know now that was sin, but it didn't bother you before, but now that you do it, it bothers you. That's Christ living in you. It's Christ manifested in you and being demonstrated out of you. So in essence, that means something like this. Because you were born, all your body, though, is still subject to decay. In the beginning, remember, sin entered the world. But in the meantime, you will continue to feel the effects of sin in this world when it comes to your physical body. And here's what Paul says with some good news in 8:24. For in this hope, we were saved. Hope, what hope? The hope of our future adoption, remember? And Paul's now talking about something that hasn't yet happened, hasn't happened yet, but it's going to happen to you in the end, and something that is in the known as the form of an adoption, and it will happen to your physical being in the end. And he says, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. For who hopes for what he already has? So Paul's basically saying this in this passage. Look, it's all about hope. Everything's about hope. The reason it's not fulfilled yet, the reason things don't get better, the reason things don't get always healed up, the reason that things don't always work out is because of this. This is all stuff that you're hoping for. All stuff that you're hoping for. And if it all worked out all the time, then there'd be no reason for hope. So this is what we're hoping for. In the meantime, we have hope. To recap, in the beginning, sin entered the world, death followed. In the meantime, we have hope. Romans 8:25. But if we hope for what we do not have, we wait for it patiently. And that basically means this. In light of the past, in the beginning, in the meantime, the world that we live in, the circumstances we live in, the things that we like to change, Paul says, our angle, our take on those things is to always lean towards hope. And in those moments where you want to figure out why this is happening, don't lose hope. We're supposed to wait for it patiently. And in short, it's not your fault. It's not your fault that you're supposed to be a better parent. It's not your fault that you should have done and what you shouldn't have done. When sin entered the world, it set us up for struggle. Bottom line. But in the meantime, we have the Holy Spirit who's living in us, who gives us the ability to hope for what will happen in the end. Goes on to say, in the same way, this is the great part, verse 26, the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit who lives within you, helps us in our weakness. And I like that because that tells me that I have weaknesses. Some of us think that we have big S's on our chesses. S's on our chesses. And we don't. We are weak, and when we are weak, the Bible says that's normal. So that's awesome. When you're struggling, that's cool. You're normal. When you're not doing well, that's okay. You're normal, right? When you're feeling like the weight of the world is on you, that's okay. It's normal. It means that when you're experiencing pain and suffering, it's not abnormal. It's normal. And God predicted it, and Paul, who's never even met you, said, listen, this is what it's all about. You're living in a decayed body because sin entered the world in the beginning. Don't fall for the twist, though, that when the world falls down around you, that you're looking for the answer. In the meantime, you're not going to find it. You need hope. You need to wait patiently for hope. And then this part is probably the best verse in all of Scripture. It probably should be some of your life's verse, all right, for some of the seasons that you face. Romans 8:26. We do not know what we ought to pray for. This is crazy. I don't know about you, but I've had moments in my life where I have knelt down before God. I just don't know what to say. I'm so angry. I'm so mad. Sometimes I have very little faith and nothing comes out of my mouth. I don't understand this and why that's happening. But it's amazing when those moments happen, because look at what the Holy Spirit does in Romans 8:26, the last part. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. That very thought alone is the most comforting thing in all of the world. God recognizes when your life is so low that you can't even utter a word. The pain is so great that all you can do is moan and cry and groan. And God says, listen, I know it seems overwhelming to you right now, like there's no end in sight, but because I love you so much, here's what I'm gonna do for you. I'm gonna pray for you. Wow. Say, like, shout hallelujah, should have an altar call right now. Are you kidding me? God says something like, I get that you have very little faith in me right now, but I'm praying for you. You may have actually no faith in me, but I'm interceding before you. Because of your weaknesses, which is normal, I am going to intercede on your behalf. And it's because I understand, God says, I understand what happened in the beginning where sin entered the world and death followed. But in the meantime, guess what? I'm praying for you. I'm right here with you. Wow. Now check out how Paul wraps all this up. Romans 8:28 through 30. And we know that all things, God works for the good for those who love him. Those who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of the Son of God. That means that God has something for you. And that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he justified. That means right standing with God. And those he justified, he also glorified. Jump down to 31. What then? What then shall we say in response to these things? What things? In the beginning, in the meantime, in the end. What shall we say to these things? Paul says, when everything's crashing down in your world, you're feeling weak. It's okay. You're normal. You're trying to figure this out on your own. Stop searching. You're not going to find it out there. What shall we say to all these things? He says this, you can take confidence that in the meantime, if God is for you, who can be against you? And then I love this part. He says, he who did not spare his son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also? How? Tell me how. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? And all of a sudden, right here, this is amazing. Paul just kind of takes us. It's about the past. It's about the present. It's about the future. It's about in the beginning, in the meantime, and in the end. And Paul kind of says, and oh yeah, by the way, there was another pretty significant event that happened in between, in the beginning, and in the meantime. God sent his son to demonstrate for you a love beyond comparison, to put a stake in the ground for you to any time that you are experiencing so much pain and so much suffering in your life that you keep asking, why God, why God, why God? He says, all you have to do is look back at the cross and you will understand why. Do you love me, God? Do you think I don't love you? Do you remember me, God? Do you think I don't remember you? Guys, I've said this before a long time ago, but whatever you are experiencing at whatever level it is, you want to know how to get good, healthy comparison with it, context with it? Put the backdrop of Jesus Christ hanging on the cross behind it. That'll bring into context what you're going through. The big three dots. Want to know why bad things happen? Because in the beginning, sin entered. And death followed. But in the meantime, we have hope. We have hope. God's still with us. He's still in control. Because in the end, we win. We win. Let me close with this illustration. Because this, if some of this just, whatever, okay? Let me just try to make sense of it in closing. Let's say you go camping with your 8-year-old son. Just 8, random. And you decide you're going to give him his very first knife. You know, it's camping, it's the woods. He needs to get a knife, right? Like, I don't know about 8, but hey, listen, you work with me, all right? So you buy him a knife and you kind of do sort of the God thing with him. You give him something that's very dangerous and you say these words to him. Be really, really responsible with it. Be very careful and be responsible. So once you give it to him, it's not his though. Can't take it back. It's his to do with what he chooses to do with it. Scary thing, right? Scary thing. So you're camping and no longer than 3 hours, you see your son coming up to you and you see kind of like this red face. And as he gets closer, you're seeing tears that are coming down his eyes and you're seeing him do this. And he walks up to you and you realize what's happening. And he says, Daddy, I cut my hand. I cut my hand. And he kind of opens up his fist and you realize, oh, it's bad. Okay, yeah. It's bad, and you're going to need to get some stitches. So you have to leave the campground immediately with your son, and you have to go to the local urgent care and emergency room, which you have no idea where that's at because it's up in Payson, and you don't even know if those people have real healing stuff. That was for Matt Balgard, all right? But you know, because you've had stitches before, you know, you realize, though, that when you're heading there, you realize that this isn't the only pain that's going to happen. There's going to be more pain and there's going to be more suffering. Chances are they're going to have to spread your son out, maybe even tie his arm down, and they're going to have to open that thing up. They're going to have to clean it because there's mud and everything there. And you know the worst part is actually yet to come. It wasn't actually the slicing. It's actually when they take out that needle. And they're going to stick it inside your son's wound, and you know he's gonna, I hear some groaning going on right now, and you know it's gonna be really, really bad. But in that moment, as they kind of get him all set up and ready, you know, he looks up at you with his eyes and welled up with tears, and he asks this question, Daddy, why did this happen? Why did this happen? And you know there's actually 2 actual logical answers that you could give. Right? The first answer is because you were irresponsible with the knife, son. Or the second one, which is a little bit harder, right? Because I gave you the knife. But you know what? Suddenly in that moment, when he asks, why did this happen? Why really doesn't even matter, does it? Because what matters most right now is in the meantime. We can discuss the why later. But in the meantime, I'm going to do for you right now what my Heavenly Father does for me, son. I'm not going to head to the waiting room, read a magazine while you get all stitched up. I'm going to crawl up on the bed. I'm going to lay down beside you. I'm going to hold your other hand tight. I'm going to cry out loud with you, scream for you. Shoot, I'd even trade places with you if I could. Because why, son? That really doesn't matter right now. What matters is in the meantime, I'm going to be right here with you, walking through this with you. Because, guys, that's what a good father does, right? No matter why, what, who, when, how, like you seem to be searching for. No matter that, God's already connected the dots. And all the why, what, who, would, you know, how, all that stuff, those are just little tiny dots that don't even matter. They're irrelevant. What matters is God connected the dots because he knows in the end, my son's going to get healed. It may hurt. There may be some time that you know, he opens up a stitch or along the way, it's still gonna be painful. But in the end, God never stops looking at in the end. You know this. In the end, you're going to see your brother. You're going to see your son. In the end, you know you're going to see your loved one that's died of cancer. In the end, you know this. You're going to know, looking back, why your son went awry like he went. You're going to know why you lost your job. But here's what you're focusing on. In the meantime, God's still in control. He's still right there with you. And now you know why the bad is happening. Because in the beginning, sin entered, and death followed with it. Those are the three big dots. And the longer and harder you keep searching for why, in your own world, all you're doing is trying to connect all these little bitty, itty, bitty dots. And the answer's not there. Never will be. Let's all stand to our feet with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. Here's the context of pain and suffering, friends. It is and always will be as big as the beginning and the end. But in the meantime, God's with you every step of the way. He is. Here's my challenge today. If I've gone long and boring, gosh, I'm so sorry. I do not want you to miss the idea behind this message. I hope God spoke to you somewhere and you could be able to respond to that, because I did not want to get in the way of this message. This is a powerful, powerful passage of Scripture in Romans chapter 8. Three huge dots to help bring some sort of context to your pain, to your suffering. I'm going to ask that maybe, just maybe, some of you might like to respond. We've got some friends that'll be standing in the front with lanyards on. They're known as our What's Next counselors. If you're out there and you've just been chasing little bitty dots all your life, you're in the middle of a big problem, a big pain, big suffering, and you can't make sense of it, you're crying out, you're this close to losing your faith because you're falling for the twist of trying to find the answer on your own, stop. Stop. Would you come forward? I told you in the beginning, I told you, you're not going to walk out of here and think that you have it all figured out now. This message is probably more confusing than clarifying. But maybe, just maybe, you've come to the point in which you've realized, you know what? In the meantime, God really is still in control. And you need God in the meantime right now. Don't abandon him. I'm going to pray for us. We're going to sing a song. If that's you, the altar is going to be open for you to come forward. Our What's Next counselors would love to pray with you, help you make a little bit more sense, bring to clarity a little bit more of these three big dots, help you understand and a few things that still might be confusing for you. Let me pray for us. Jesus, thanks. I pray, God, that somebody here today heard what you need them to hear, and that they would move with confidence the way that you want them to move today, God. That they would begin to grow bigger faith and trust you, have passion for you. God, this is a twist that so many people are getting jacked up and they're being deceived today by. They desperately need to make some sense, so God, help them today. Help them turn their problem over to you in the meantime and have hope. Have hope. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. In your son's precious and holy, holy, holy name.